Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara, 6 lines from the bottom, the words of Va'amahachanafka. So we're discussing Rava, who said that the Braisa before was talking about when he said that the woman is going to be usher also to marry him, that for the woman herself, she's going to be usher to marry a chala. So she'd be usher to marry a chala. That would, Abbas Cohen would be usher to marry a chala. So says Gemara, Va'amahachanafka. It's learned from there, Ben Rav Yehuda Marav Nafka. This is learned from Rav Yehuda Marav, who says, Rav Yehuda Marav, Chen Rav Ishmael, Isha, Isha, Ki Yasa Mikol Chatas Adam. That the Pasuk says, this Pasuk is talking about, Agav, it's talking about somebody who didn't pay money and swore falsely, denying that he owed money to his friend. And if he confesses, he has to bring an Asham. So he has to bring an Asham Gzelos. So the Gemara says, and it says over there, Isha, Isha, when he's doing this Achatas. So says the Gemara, we're taking the fact that it says, Mikol Chatas Adam, that he's violating Avera. We're learning that whenever a person does an Avera, whatever it is, a woman is going to be chayav in that. We learned from over there that a woman is chayav in every lav in the Torah. So the Chorah, this should also include the woman in the Isser who marries a Chalal who's a Kohen. So therefore, she's a Bas Kohen. She's also to marry a Chalal. So why did Rava need a different pasuk? So the Gemara says, because imai, if it said by the Isha Isha, then I would have thought of Amina Lo Lava Sheva Kol, that limud is only by a lav, which is shaykh to all men everywhere. Valav Shinu Sheva Kol, but here this is only a din by Kohanim. The Kohanim are also to marry a Grusha. They're also to marry a Chalala. So therefore, and they're also to marry a Chalutza. So therefore, by them I would say that it's also, but by everybody else, Lo, that therefore, since it's not a Lava Sheva Kol, I would have not necessarily said that it applies to women either. So therefore, we needed this pasuk of Rava, the limud of Rava, to tell you that a woman is muzharis al yaday ha'ish from based on the pasuk of lo yikhu, lo yikhu. So turning on to the next number now on Pei Ayam Adal, this is like more of a Hare Tuma, but wait a second. Regards to the din of Tumas, Bas Kohen, the lav shinu shavakol, which is a lav which does not apply to all men. The time of the kavas rachmana bnei Aaron, which we learn, it says right bnei Aaron v'lemesh lo yitam alam of that. Specifically by bnei Aaron, they're usher to get tame. The lopanos Aaron, the lacha is that the daughter is bizarre. Also, that's the same halacha that a woman is allowed. A woman of bas koyin is allowed to be matame lemesin. So therefore we say, had it not been for the drasha of Bnei Aaron, I would have thought that woman had, because the Torah has to go out of its way to specifically say Bnei Aaron to exclude women from the lav of going being matame lemesim. Halav achi avamina nashim chayavos. But if it not been for that fact, I would have said that women, meaning the daughters of Kohen and Bas Koyanim, are going to be obligated to keep this lav. So, and I wouldn't have, even though it only applies to certain members of society, it only applies to Kohanim. So now my taima. So lechora, now why would I have thought that the women are going to be included in this Eser La Mishum Rav Yehuda Marav? Lechora, the only reason I would have thought that, what's my Havamina, meaning the Torah has to go out of its way to tell me the woman is going to be allowed to be Matam LaMesim. If not, I would have thought that she's Aser. Why is she Aser? So lechora, because of Rav Yehuda Marav, that Isha Isha, right, that the Lashon of Isha Isha by the Lashon of Kiyasa Mikol Chatas Adam should teach you by everything, even a Lav She'inu Shavah Bakol. The women are Shayach to that. So lechora, why then, going back to our question, then why, if that's the case, why do, why do we assume that this Isha Isha should not be good enough that a woman should not be allowed, a Bas Kohen should not be allowed to marry a Chalal? So it says the Gemara, Lo. If it had been over there, the Gemara may Lo Yikhu. Because the reason that the women are included in the Isser of Tuma is because I would have learned from Lo Yikhu, as Rashi helps it out, that Rashi says, Klomar Me'ish O Isha Lo Nafgalan. Ella Lava Shavu Bakol. So now it's the lavash of a kol. So we wouldn't have learned it out there. So why would I have learned out Benos? Why do I need the limit of Benos Aaron? Because I would have learned it out from the fact that lo yichu, that we know that the halacha of specific to kohanim, that kohanim are asr to marry grusha, they're asr mechalusa, they're asr to marry a chalala. So all those cases do apply by a woman. A woman is asr to marry a bas kohen is asr to marry a chalal. So there specifically, we know that the halachas of kohanim apply to them. So I would have thought that the halacha of them also being metamala mesim also applies to them. So therefore, the pasuk has to go out of its way to teach you that they are in fact mutter to go into Beis HaKvaros, and it's not an Isser for them, not from the issue of Isha Isha, but from this Isser. So says the Gemara, Ikata Amit. So there are those who say the other way around, Kicha Itzer Chalei. That no, that we really, the pasuk about the fact that they should not take is needed. Why sakat etachamina? Why do I need it specifically over here? Because ligmar mituma. We should learn out from the lachas of tuma that since women are excluded from the iser of going the other way, meaning we're using the other way around to say, why do I need the lashon of kichav here? Really, ish o isha should have been enough to teach you that really a woman is taka going to be usher to basi koyen is usher to marry a chalal. Aye, so why do I need the pasuk about bnei Aaron to teach me by the case of tuma? That really I would have learned that. That I would have learned over there that really I would have thought that really she should have been metame. So the Gemara says, like Mar Matuma, I would have learned from Lachas of Tuma that since women are specifically excluded from that, they're also going to be likewise excluded from the Isser Kamash Malan. So therefore, the Pasuk is telling you that I would have thought we'd learned that from Tuma that it's a Lashin of Shabbat Bakol and Nashim Rapturo. So therefore, also I would have learned by the Lacha of the Basko and Marek Halal should have been fine from there. And therefore, I need the Pasuk of Kicha, the Lashin of Kicha that Rava had before, earlier on yesterday's daf, to teach you that it really is in fact going to be usher for them. So now the Gemara goes back to a previous discussion where we're talking about that the daughters of Kohanim are allowed to marry a Chalal. Lem Rav Papa, Rav Yuna, Rav Yeshua, Ikul Lehintzvu, Le'asrei de Rav Yidi, they went to Hintzvu. Hintzvu is, some say, the Lashon of Shichlitzu, it's in a certain place, and it was the area where Rav Yidi Baravin was the Rav over there. So they were talking to him and learning. They asked him, Azarek Sherasli Nasei Lipsuna Lo, are the daughters of Kohanim usher to marry Chalalim or not? Amralu Rav Papa. So Rav Papa answered them, Tanisua, we learn in a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Kiddushin. And the Mishnah talks about the Asara Yochsin, Shalal Bavel. There are 10 type of people who came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Ezra, we know, came up from the time when he was at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. He was building Bayit Sheni. And he was bringing everybody together. And so many of the Talmid HaChachamim were actually joining him. He wanted to make sure that he was taking the Mamzarim, the Mamzirim, the Chalalim, the Shtukim, the Supid, and those we're going to see over here, to make sure that they don't intermarry more in Bavel. Because he's afraid that a lot of the rabbis are going to be leaving. And people are going to know Allah, they're going to marry everybody. So if he brought them, he would be able to keep an eye on them to make sure that they don't marry into Klal Yisrael. So who are these? Sorry, Yilson, Kohan, and Levim Yisrael, and that's the first category of the three. Chalalim, Gerim, Vechurarim, a Chalal, a convert, and a freed Eved Knaini, who becomes a full-fledged Jew, if he's a full Eved Knaini, and then he's freed. Mamzerim, the Nisim, Shtukim, Vesufim. Mamzer, Nisim, we learned about right there, there's a Givonim, a converted, or to Machlokas, to Rishonim, based on how to understand which Gemara, to hold us their race, or to by the way, they're not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. A Shtuki and a Sufir, also us, or Shtuki, somebody who's Shasuk, a father, we don't know his father. He's called Shtuki because somebody says, who's your father? The mother says, shh, don't talk about your father because we don't know who he is. And a Sufi, and somebody would just find him on the streets. We don't know who he is, Bichlal. So the lach of a Shtuki and a Sufi is that we assume that there's a concern that the father is going to be, the father is a mamzer in both these cases, or the mother, either one of them is definitely in the case of a Sufi, both can be a mamzer, but definitely in the case of a Shtuki, we're afraid that there's a mamzer, a Safik, a mamzer. So the lach is, so when it comes to these categories, Kohanim Levim Yisrael Marmutim Lavavazeh. So Kohanim Levim Yisrael, they're obviously allowed to marry each other. They're all kosher. Levim Yisrael Chalalim Vegirim Churarim. A Levi Yisrael, a Chalalim, and a convert and freed slaves. Mutarim Lavavazeh. They're also permitted to marry one another. Geri Churim Hamzer Nesin Shtuki Vesufi. Also Mutarim Lavavazeh. They're permitted also to marry one another. The Gemara says, "Aye, what about a Sufi? We're not really sure that they're necessarily a Shtuki. A Sufi, they're only a Safek Mamzerim." So the Gemara learns over there that we learn out that that even if it's a Safek, you're allowed to marry each other. They're allowed to marry. But now the Mishnah Lachora doesn't mention the case of a Kohenis is mutter to marry a Chalal. Implies from here that it would be also for a Kohen to marry a Kohenis, a Bas Kohen, to marry a Chalal. That's what you see from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravuna Breda Ravuna." That's not a good raya from the Mishnah. Why not? Because Galechi de Hane Nasi Mehane, where the men of these men were to be allowed to marry these wives. So then Hane Nasi Mehane, and then the women are allowed to then subsequently marry the men, meaning Levayim Yisrael. So a woman, female Levi, is allowed to marry a Yisrael, and vice versa, a man Yisrael is allowed to marry a woman Leviya. So that's why we mention those cases. Then the Mishnah mentions them. However, Kohanim came to Ilu by the Minsim Chalala, but with a Kohen, it's definitely us for him to marry a Chalala. Asirilite should be answer to him, Loktani. So the Mishnah doesn't say the other way around, that a woman would be allowed, in fact, to marry. It would then be married to the since a Kohen is usher to marry the Chalala, even though a Chalala would be married to the other way around, but stylistically, since we want to keep that case in check, so then the Mishnah doesn't mention that group that is permitted to another unless both sides are butter, and this case doesn't have both sides. That's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. So says the Gemara, also the Kamei de Ravidi Baravin. So then they came before Ravidi Baravin, and they asked, Amarlehu. So they asked him, Dardiki, Hachia Maravida Marav, that he said, Lechorah, he said, my children, my kindred will come, blessed are Maravida, send them Marav. Lo, Zuk Sherazli Nasilpsuim, that woman, the daughters of Kohanim, are not actually asher to married to Chalalim. So that's what he held. Okay, that's what's Machloka Samaraim, how do we paskin? So now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shnias Medevir Sofrim, they don't have a Ksuba. So it says, Gwarabai Menevir Ravid Rashishis, Shnil Labal Velo Shnil Labam. What happens in the case where the woman who was a Shnil Labal, and so she was asher to be married to him, but he died already, and now, so she's coming for even before the brother who's totally mutter. So we had that example. We gave the example, right? If the people were half brothers. So the father, they were on the father's side was the same father, but they had different mothers. So one of them was was married to his wife's to the woman he married. That was he was married to his grandmother, and to the other brothers, they're not related at all. So in that example, so over here now, when the other lady wants to get married to this yavam, so the shayla is yesh like ksuba yavam or lo? Would she have a ksuba from that yavam or not? So what's the tutsadim? Kevadim are ksuba by la rishon. So the halacha that we said earlier on daf lamed ches on the mission over there, what the yavama's ksuba goes on the first husband. That if if he takes gibum, the 200 zuz or 200 zuz, depending if she was a mana or she was a sula. So then that is taken from the husband's estate, which the Yavam inherited, and not from his own personal estate. So therefore, Laisla, so here, since the whole ksuba goes after the first estate, and we know that the first, we punish the lady over here to not give her a ksuba when she marries this Shnius Medivir Sofim, which we're going to discuss in Amud Beis, why that's so, but we punish her to not have a ksuba, so should I say in that case, that at the end of the day, that since there is no ksuba for the first husband she was married to, so to over here, she shouldn't, that's the first thought. Odilma, the other side of this question, is Kevan to Ilu Laisla Mirishan, since if any other Avama does not have a ksuba from the first husband, meaning that a married couple is asked to stay together, the wife doesn't have the minute, she cannot collect the 200 zuz. In our case, so then we would assume that if the Avam, at the end of the day, since the Avama lacks the right, the Avam must divorce her. So in this example, I'm getting confused over here. So now again, what's the other side? The other side is Dilma kevan to ilu leisli merishon. Since the avama doesn't have a ksuba from the first husband, tiknu l'rabbanim isheni. That an example, if he doesn't have any property, so then she would be allowed to take her. Also, over here, she would be allowed to take her. Isla, she would be allowed. She would have a ksuba from the avam. So that would be the question over here. So says the Gemara and Agav. So this is what I meant to mention. That's why I got confused. That the Rishonim point out that at the end of the day, if a woman doesn't have a ksuba, so then she's not allowed to be with him. So in the first tzad, how are you allowed to do yibum? So the Rishonim point out that he must write a new ksuba, which would give her the ksuba payment. That's what it has to be. That's what Rishonim point out. So says the Gemara, Hamar Rosheshes. So what do we answer? Tanisua that we learn in this brisa, ksubas al nechsei baila rishon. The Avama's ksuba is on the first husband, v'maisa shnei lebal, afilu miyavan ein la, that she does not have a ksuba even from the oven. So that means an old, according to the Rishonim we just mentioned, that means an old ksuba, but you'd have to write up a new ksuba if he wants to do yibum and stay married to her. You're not allowed to stay married to someone without a ksuba. That's her insurance that she stay married. The Gemara says it's like a bilas nus if you don't have a ksuba. It's an important halacha people should know about bezana zeh, by the way, that's still halacha lemaisa, that a woman has to know where her ksuba is. She doesn't have to be in the same area of her ksuba, but she has to know that it's safe and that she knows where it is. That's a very important halacha that people have to keep in mind. So now the Gemara says, Michlal de'ika de'islam yavam. So this implies that there's a situation where Yavama does have a ksuba from her yavam, meaning by saying that she can collect the lashon even from the yavam's personal state, the Brisa is implying there are circumstances where she does have the right. So how could this be with the Brisa's first point? So now we've agreed that was the raya, but now we're just asking with the Brisa Menei Abay, what does this mean? So the Gemara says, Chsirim echser v'achtani. The Brisa explains the following. Ksubasa nechse baila rishon, v'ilei islam rishon, tiknu la mesheni. She does not have a ksuba from the estate of the first husband. The rabbis assume that she should get a ksuba from the second, from the yavam. That's in a normal case. However, if she was a secondary erva to the husband, then she does not have a ksuba from the yavam because it goes back to the husband's estate. There, she would not, it goes back to the husband's estate, and only when she was entitled to it from the husband's estate does the yavam take effect. However, in this case, you don't have that, so then you would not say that over here. So that's what we learned from over here. So says the Gemara, Vaiter, by Minei Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar asked from Rabbi Yochanan, now Manal Kohen Gadol. In case of Manal Kohen Gadol, Grusha Vechalitza Kohen Hedyot, Yesh on Mezonos, Oin La Mezonos. Do they have the right to be provided? Does the husband have the chiyuv? We know, right? Share Ksus Vona, our dinim potentially Daraisa, that a husband has to provide marital relations, a husband has to provide physical sustenance, he has to give her food. That's a din d'oraisa he has to provide for her. But is it when there's an iser talking at play? L'chora, she's not l'chora entitled to it. So the Gemara says, "Eichi dami." What are circumstances? The Gemara is defining the question where she should be entitled to these mezonos. Ilema diasvetusa, she's still living with him. But amod votzekai, why in the world would we encourage him to be giving mezonos when he has a chiyuv d'oraisa to divorce her? Every time he's with her, he's violating an iser d'oraisa. It would be a chiyuv malchus if we warned him beforehand. So l'chora, clearly we don't want to give her mezonos. He's late. How in the world could you assume that she should be getting mezonos? He has to divorce. Obviously, we're not going to encourage him by giving her mizonos. So it says in Gemara, "Lotzricha shalach lul minasiyam." We're talking about a case where the husband went overseas. The laws of Yachlos, so she borrowed money and used that money to support herself. In that halacha, what's the halacha over there? Does the husband have a chiyuv to pay off her debt or not? Normally, the husband pasha has a chiyuv to pay off the debt of the woman because he was chayev to provide for her and he didn't. So therefore, he's chayev to pay it. Well, here the question is no. So mizonos to ksuba ninu. So the fact that the mizonos is part of the stipulation of the ksnai suba, as Rashi writes, that he says ate yasu bevesi. So that the person is going to be Mizonas from his nechasim, that's in the ksuba. But the isla ksuba, since at the end of the day she has the right to a ksuba, in contrast to a shnius b'divrei sofrim that doesn't, she does. Isla mizonas. So then I'll say in this case specifically, she should have her entitled to her right to the mizonas, to her to food. Odilma here, should we say ksuba is the mishkal mapik isla, a ksuba which is collected that she has a right to claim. However, mizone delama tigavit gabei lisla. But when it comes to the providing of food and sustenance for her to live, which that would cause him to stay with her, so that would be something that she would not have the right to claim. So therefore, that's the two tzadim of the suffix. So says the Gemara now, Amr Lay, so Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Lazar, Leisla, she does not have the right to sustenance, even if she had already borrowed money for this purpose. So the Gemara says, Vatanya Yesh, so we have a Bryce says Beferish, that she has the right to the Parnassa over here. She has the right, so the Gemara says, Kitanei Lachar Misa, that only meant after the husband's death. That if the husband died without divorcing her, then for that duration of that point, so then, and she borrowed money since he died, so then she can, when she collects the ksuba, she can also collect the right to the ksuba, which was the idea that she can have the mizonos. That's what we see from over here, that she's entitled to the mizonos, and it's only after misa, and obviously we're not afraid of her staying with her husband anymore. Husband's dead, so therefore there's no reason to deprive her of this right that she was entitled to mizonos. That's what the Bryce is talking about. So the Gemara says, Ista Amar La, some explain that it was the following. Amar La, Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Lazar, Tanya, that it was the Bryce of Yesha, that she has the right to mizonos. So in this version, that if she already had borrowed money for the sustenance, he has to pay off the debt, but with regards to providing it, obviously everybody agree that she would not get the mizonos lechachila because we don't want to encourage them staying with her. So Gemara says, haba movadak, sir, but even in this situation, he's supposed to divorce her. How could he be obligated to repay her the money? We don't want to convince her to stay with him. We want to encourage as much as possible the divorce. So says the Gemara, v'ela hatanya, so what Rabbi Yochanan says, yesha, at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan responded that she has the right to mizonos. So Rabbi Lazar says, kitanei lachar misa, that was only talking about after the death. Rabbi Lazar is suggesting that the possible explanation of the Braisa is only after death, that's when we give her the mizonos. But if she borrowed money, according to Rabbi Lazar, she would not be entitled to that money during the husband's lifetime. Rabbi Yochanan thought that that's what the Braisa was talking about. Rabbi Lazar says, no, that's not what the Braisa was talking about. Now we're going to quote the Braisa defining the rights of the woman. Says Tanur Rabbanan, Amanala Kohen Gadol Grusha Chalitza Kohen Gadol, a widow to a Kohen Gadol, a divorcita lucha to a Kohen Hadyot, Yeshla Ksuvasa Peres Mizonos Belos. She receives the rights of her Ksuva. She gets the Nechse Melog. Nechse Melog are normally property that's reserved for the husband, right? Let's say she brings in a field. So the husband's allowed to use the field. He's allowed to get all the peros, everything, let's say, an orange field or orange trees. So the husband's allowed to eat the orange trees all the while they're married. Here, though, the husband is not allowed to have the orange trees all the while the husband is married to her, because the whole reason that the husband is entitled to Nechse Melog is because it's Tachas Purkana, that he will redeem her in the event that she becomes captured, which was much more frequent back then. So that's Chazal were Misakin, the Nechse Melog, Tachas, the fact that he'll redeem her. But in the reason that he's redeeming her, it says that Yvihate is going to be back to the Intu. She's still going to be my wife. Here, she's not going to be her wife, so he's not entitled to Nechse Melog. So therefore, he's not entitled, he's not chayev to redeem her. So since he's not chayev to redeem her, he's not entitled to the produce. He would have to pay her back. So she does not get this peros. Mizonos, also the Mizonos, she's entitled to Mizonos from the estate after his death, as we explained before, and also the blouse. Here, the worn out garments. If she brought in any garments into the marriage, the husband is going to be chayav to pay the wear and tear for them, and also she's allowed to take the remnants of the garments when the marriage is concluded. So therefore, she's entitled to that. That's what we see over here. And the lacha kadiz v'hipsula, she is going to be disqualified as she's a chalala, because she won the moment to be a pasla pasla. Uvlad apostle and her child is also disqualified as a chalal. V'kofin oso lahotzi, also we compel him to divorce her. We've tried to force him to divorce her. Now the brisa continues. Shnius v'divrei sofrim. The lacha of a shnius, din derabani, let's say a man marries his grandmother. The lacha is, in laksuba says, she does not get the 200 zuz of a ksuba, low paris, nor does he get the, does she get the nechse melog mizonos, nor does she get any mizonos, even after misa, we don't assume she gets the mizonos, and lo blos, she doesn't get the worn out garments. Speak shira, however, she is going to be eligible for kuna, uvlada kasher, and the children that she'll have, if they have children, this man who marries his grandmother, would be, the halacha would be that she would be, even though midrabanan it's aser, they do not make her children a chalala or her a chalal. V'kofin osu lahotzi, again, we try to force him as much as we can to divorce her. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Amar Lazar, nei ma amru almana lakohen gadol yesh lak subasa. So why is it the halacha that at the end of the day, why is it that a widow to marry a Kohen Gadol has a ksuba? Because at the end of the day, she is pasul and he's psula, and he's also disqualified. As Rashi points out, that this is what we're saying, that a pasul, meaning that at the end of the day, he's not allowed to do the avoda. since all the while that he's married to her, that's a machlokas, it's the Rabbanan and the Oraisa, that din, that while the man is married to a grusha, so or an aman al kohen gadol, the reason that we're saying over here is that she, that all the while that she's married to them, all the while that he's married to them, that these yisurim, he's not allowed to do the avoda, and that itself is a reason to try to compel him to get divorced. The chomakom shupasul v'yipsuda, anywhere he is going to be disqualified and she is disqualified, so then we say that we're going to be kamsu osu ksuba. The Rabbanan penalized him, required him to pay the ksuba, because we do not penalize her, rather we penalize him, that the reason the Rabbanan did that is because when it comes to shnil arayv, so we're going to see that the fact is we want to prevent her from remaining in their marriage. Since she knows that she will not receive a ksuba, she want to leave him to have an insurance policy that she'll get money from her future husband. But in the case where the Kohen Gadol is marrying him, we assume that anyway, this, the fact that he can't do the vote is going to lead to major machlokas in this marriage, and he's going to want to end up getting divorced anyway, and that's the halacha that goes on over here. So says the Gemara, "Ma amru shnios midivrei sofrim ein la ksuba." And why do we say that the shnios midivrei sofrim are going to not have a ksuba? Mipnei shehu kasher v'ikshera, because both of them are kasher v'chomakom shikshera v'akshera. Kansu osla ksuba. We penalized her because at the end of the day we want her to get divorced because him he's not, we're assuming that there's not going to be anything to encourage him to get divorced if they don't have to pay the ksuba. And the more so, we want to stay married to her. We want her to feel that she doesn't have the insurance policy to be married to this guy, and that's why we remove the ksuba. So says the Gemara, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe has a different understanding. Halal Divrei Torah, when it comes to the Issa D'Oraisa of a Kohen Gadol marrying a Amana or a Kohen Hedyot marrying a divorcee, the Lachas are Dinim D'Oraisa. But Divrei Torah is like everyone knows that they're Dinim D'Oraisa and people try to generally more makbet on a Din D'Oraisa. Halal Divrei Sofer and the secondary Shnius L'Arayas are Din D'Rabbana, and it's like swimming on Shabbos. People make up all the excuses in the world. Ah, I don't need to do this and that. I'm not going to come to this, I'm not going to that. And Malik on the Divrei Chazal Chazal Shalom. But Divrei Sofer, so we have to require extra support, extra encouragement to keep dinim derabanan, and therefore we say, you should know how serious the sin is, you're not even going to get your ksuba. And that's why they'll treat it more seriously. So says the Gemara, Davar Acher, another explanation, Zehu Margila, in the case of a Kohen Gadol, and a Grusha V'Chalutza, the Kohen Hedyot, so Lacha over there is that we, Zoe Margila, it's the man who's persuading the woman to marry him, but Zoe Margila, so in the case of the Shneos Arayot, it's the woman who's trying to pursue the man. When the woman is thinking about getting married to Shneos Arayos, she knows that it's not going to apostle her or her children, so therefore she has nothing to lose by the marriage, so therefore we try to discourage her. That's she's Kilo bringing it about. So when it comes to the other example, though, that's usually she's going to try to convince him to stay married to her. Davar Acher Man Katana. The Gemara asks, who is this Man Damar who says this Davar Acher in the Braisa? So says the Gemara, Ikka Damar, there are those who say it was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Katana. It was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Matam Kamar, he's explaining the reason behind the earlier Takana. Matam Apostle Vahi Psula Kansu Osoksuba. Then in the case where they're both disqualified, they penalized him by requiring him to be the Ksuba. Nimeshu, who? Margila, because it's he who is in trying to encourage the marriage. Matam He Kasher. Who Kasher Vahi Kshera Kansu Osoksuba. And what is the reason where he remains mutter and she remains mutter that they penalized her, meaning in the case of Divrei Sofrim that she has to be Margilasa, because she is the one who wants to encourage the marriage to marry her. So the Gemara says Ikka D'Amrei. So there are those who explain the other explanation. Rebbe Katanila, Rebbe is the one who taught it. V'chalitza kakashilei, and the reason Rebbe needed to teach the lacha is because he was bothered by the din of chalitza. Why? Because chalitza is the rabbanan v'isak subas. In the case of chalitza, it's a din derabanan bepashtus. That's the whole shayla. There are some indications that chalitza, because many of the mishnayos list grusha v'chalitza in elu and alokin, and many mishnayos seem to imply chalitza is din deraisa. And many rishonim seem to understand that chalitza is deraisa. However, in the pashtus of the sugi over here is beferish gemara that says chalitza is only derabanan. Maybe it's only beshitas rebbe someone at taina. End of the day, the gemara says beferish that the chalitza over here is derabanan. Yet she has a ksuba. But according to Rebbe Shita, though, Rebbe Shita is of the understanding that Dinim Derabanan Asichim Chizuk, and she should lose a ksuba. So the Gemara Hadar Amar, so Rebbe says, Kevin Depasilim Derabanan, since at the end of the day, a chalutza is going to be, is a psul Derabanan, so some explain, Kevin Depasilim Truma Derabanan. She's disqualified from Truma. So if she's disqualified from Truma, so the when the chalutza marries a Kohen, she becomes usher from a Truma. So therefore, then she would be usher, so given the pasul derabanan from Truma, then that is a deterrent for her, that she's no longer allowed to have Truma, and therefore she would want to stay divorced to him, and therefore she would get entitled to, that's enough reason that she would want to be compelled to get divorced, and she doesn't need to lose her ksuba to compel her to get divorced. Zehu Margila, in this case, it is he who pursues her to marry her, and therefore he must pay for the ksuba. Vezeh Margila, so in the case where the din of the Shneos Arayos, it's she who's pursuing him, because at the end of the day, they're not becoming puzzle, and therefore she would be puzzle from the ksuba. So therefore, we understood that the first opinion was the shita of the Achirim was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he holds that the determining factor is whether the marriage is affect who is whether the forbidden marriage affects the disqualification. If no one's going to come puzzle as a result of the marriage, it's presumably the woman who wants to pursue the husband. However, in the case where there is a psul over here, the husband, the chora, would want to be compelling the woman. Rebbe is understanding that the determining factor over here is whether the marriage is asr midar raisa or midar banan, and only when it comes to the din of the chalutza that we have special exception. So the Gemara asks, Ma'ika bein Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, what's the difference between Rebbe Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar? What's the nafkamina between the two? So the Gemara is not going to suggest the four or five different suggestions until the end of the Amun. So till to the Mishnah. So the Gemara, Amar of Chista, Mamzeres and Nesina Yisrael, Ika binayu. When you have a case where you have a Mamzeres or an Nesina who is married to Yisrael, Ma'adah Madaraisa, Rebbe who is saying that the din is all about that the forbidden wife is Asim Madaraisa and you get a Ksuba if it's the Raisa, so Anami Daraisa. So he holds that this is an Isra Daraisa and a Nasin and a Mamzer, and therefore there would be a din Daraisa. Ma'adah Mabnesha Margila. But the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who says that a wife has a Ksuba because it's the husband who pursued her in the marriage, ha, he Margila Lay, it's her who's wanting to pursue him. And there's different explanations why that is. At the end of the day, if she's a mamzeris, her children are going to be mamzerim. So the Gemara is assuming the fact that at the end of the way, based on Rabbi Shita's Rabbi Tarfon says that there's a way that, because a mamzer we know is out of olam, so her children can be mamzerim. No, but there's a way to be matar herself. If this mamzer, that they have a child, ends up marrying a shifcha knainis, and then, so their children would be non-Jews. If you free those non-Jewish children, they become yidden, full-fledged yidden, and they're kosher. That's the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. He finds a way, he says, yichol mamzim latar, he finds a way that mamzerim don't go out of olam, and they could have children offspring that would not be mamzerim. Since there's a way that this husband eventually could have children who are kosher of Oba Yisrael, so he's not going to be so opposed to marrying her, and she's trying to convince him, she's trying to pursue him to get married to him. And also the fact that at the end of the day, one of her children will be, one of her father at least is kosher, she's not as bad. Her social standing is not as bad with the other just full-fledged mamzerim, because she's going to try to look, my husband was kosher, even though at the end of the day, halachically, she's full-fledged, the children are full-fledged mamzerim, still, she has this taina. So she's pursuing him. Rabbi Lazar Damare is the Avid of Mamzer, but according to Rabbi Lazar, we said, Rabbi Tarfon is the one that says, Yecholim Mamzer Latar. That was one of the reasons she can convince him to get married. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, who argues on Rabbi Tarfon over there, and he says that this case is an Avid Mamzer, that this the person who's born of that union, who is a Mamzer, who marries the Shifcha Knainis, this child would then be a Mamzer and a Shifcha Knainis. She would not be a full fledged Avid Knaini, who then could then be freed and made into Yisraelim. He argues, he says, you can't make them Yisraelim ever. So, so the Mamzeris would not be able to pursue the Yisrael because at the end of the day, one of the reasons that he's willing to marry her because he knows eventually his grandchildren can become Yidden. Here, if that's not able to happen, so then he'll never want to marry her. So then he will not be able to marry her because their future generation will be Mamzerim. So therefore, she will not pursue this marriage because she's fear that it'll call all the generation Mamzerim. She's not going to bother trying to marry this guy. So that's what we see over here. So therefore, says the Gemara, Malav Yosef, Master Grishosha, Mishinisa, Isaac Gubanaya. No, we're talking about a case where one who gets divorced, Reuven gets divorced to Sarah, and then Sarah goes ahead and marries Shimon. Then Sarah gets divorced to Shimon and then wants to remarry Reuven. The lacha is that there's a din daraisa that tells you, Master Grishosha tells you you're not allowed to do that. So Gemara and Mandar, Daraisa is Rebbe who says that the din of a forbidden wife has a ksuva is when it's din in Daraisa. So there, Rebbe Daraisa, therefore, since she would have a ksuba. But Rabbi Shimon Lazar says that it's forbidden because the husband is pursuing the marriage. He, Hahi Margila Le. But here he would argue this case because it's the woman who is pursuing him, and therefore there would be no ksuba according to him. She was forbidden to marry a Kohen anyway, so the moment they get divorced, and therefore she has nothing to lose by marrying him. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Akiva, Mamzer Mechayev Elavin, but according to Bekiva holds that there is a Mamzeris Shiloh over here, so then she's not going to pursue this marriage, Bechlal. Halo Margila Evelamita, she would not be pursuing this marriage to take her back because she knows that the children are Mamzerim, so this wouldn't be a Nafkamina according to Bekiva. So the Gemara goes on to another explanation. Third explanation now. Lamarav Papa, Ba'ula, Kohen Godlik, Benai. No, a case where you have a Kohen right, has to marry a Basula, is married someone who never previously had any relations. Someone had relations is asked her to marry a Kohen. But it's only an Isra Asay because it says, Kiyim Basuli Kach Me'amav. Ba'ula is not going to be. Is not going to be a lav. So the Gemara says, Mandamar Daraisa, so Hanami Daraisa, that it's going to be, it's still going to do it in Daraisa, so she would have a ksuba. Maybe there's an Issa Daraisa as well, and I'm getting confused. There's an Issa Daraisa. By the way, it's definitely not going to create Mamzir, and that's the point over here, that the Gemara is trying to bring it out. So the Gemara says, Hai Margila Le, so she would argue, so then the husband, they could argue that she would be pursuing this case, because at the end of the day, since the issue of a Ba'ula, Lekoin Gadol, is only an Issa, no, it's an Issa Asay, clearly in Rashi, and in that case, Rabbi Akiva agrees that the children would not be Mamzirim, so therefore, therefore she'd be pursuing the marriage. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that says, we saw she does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, was in Daf Samech. We saw that it says over there that a chalal is going to be produced even by a chiyuv ha'aser. So this should be, her children will be chalalim. So then this case, the woman who's a ba'ula, we're not trying to marry a kohen gadol bechalal, because she knows her children would be chalalim. So says the Gemara, Na'elam Ravashi, Machzir Safek Sota, Ikabanayu. No, there's someone who is taking back a Safek Sota. Safek Sota is somebody who secluded herself after her husband warned her, and they didn't yet forgive her the Maimar Marim to clarify if she had been a full-fledged Sota, and she would explode or not, and she would be mutter. So now, while there's Safek Sota, it's still an Isra Daraisa for the husband to have relations with her. Mandabar Daraisa, Nami Daraisa. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim that a Safek Sota is Asr Daraisa. That gets into all the Shaila of a Safek Daraisa Lachuma, is that a Din Daraisa or not? Because the Gemara has Sukkim to learn out a Safek Sota. Okay, that's another question. Mandam Neshi Margila, but again, the one who says that it's the case of the wife as a Ksuba because the husband is pursuing her, here, Hahi Margila, that she would be pursuing him. She would be pursuing him because anyway, she's going to be, Safek Sota is going to. She would not be disqualified by having bia with him. She becomes neither a chala or a zona by having bia with her. So even Rabbi Akiva holds that when it comes to Yisr Lav, there's mamzerim. Here he agrees that a suffix sota would not produce a mamzer either. So the Gemara says, but what about Ramasa ben Chayr Tamar? I feel alach baila leshkosa vale baderech asa zayna. No, it makes her a zona though. If he was, he's going to be up here with her, makes her a zona, that's her coin. So that at the end of the day, she would not want, if she makes her a zona, so then she would wait till she drinks the waters in order to have beer with her husband. Because she wouldn't be usher to her coin if she becomes a zona in the interim, and she wouldn't want to pursue this marriage. So the Gemara says, Ela amarav, mar baravashi, sota vadai ikabinayu. That the case of a sota vadai is her nafkamina, because a sota vadai, end of the day, is a considered a zona anyway. And therefore, she has nothing to lose by this having beer with her husband. So therefore, she at the end of the day, by having beer with her, she would not lose anything. And therefore, Rabbi Kiwa also agreed that the children would not be Muzirim, and therefore, she doesn't stand to lose anything. So she would be pursuing the marriage. But if it's an Isra D'Oraisa, Rabbi would say that there's still a Ksuba, that would be the Nafkamina between the two. So let's quickly run through the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael Mureslis Kohen. If you have a Bas Yisrael who is married Be'eris into a Kohen, Mubaris Mekohen, or she's pregnant from a Kohen, Shemar Zevim LeKohen, or she's waiting, she was married to a Kohen, and Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, her husband dies, she's waiting Yibam for the other Kohen. V'chein Bas Kohen LeYisrael, and similarly Bas Kohen LeYisrael, who's married to Yisrael, lo tzoch by all these examples do not eat Shuma. Bas Yisrael, Mures Levi. If you have Bas Yisrael who's waiting to be married to a Levi, Mures Levi, or pregnant by a Levi, Shomer Zevon Levi, or is waiting even by a Levi, all this Bas Levi to Yisrael, so Bas Levi to Yisrael, Losov, a Meister, she's not supposed to be any Meister. The Gemara's going to discuss this. Meister, the Levi could do whatever they want with it, so why can't he feed her Meister? That's what the Gemara's going to ask that. Bas Levi, Mures is a coin. You have a daughter of a Levi who is married to a coin, Mures the coin, Shomer Zevon the coin. The chiddush over here is that she's not allowed to have either one. She's interim stage. She's only done kiddushin. She hasn't done nisun yet, so she's not fully married yet. So she can't have truma, but she's also not entitled to meiser because of the fact that she's married to the kohen. So therefore, she could have neither. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Gemara. Uzei Zara, Be'ez Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.